my life in Christ, starting at page 24, second part. I myself am nothing, but by the grace of the priesthood, by bestowing upon others the divine body and blood, I become the second or third means of healing sicknesses. Through me, the grace of the Spirit gives new life to infants and grown persons, administers in the sacraments of the Eucharist the body and blood of Jesus Christ, uniting believers with the Godhead. Through me, it looses or binds the sins of men, opens or closes heaven, gives salutary counsels, rules, etc. Oh, how venerable is the office of the priest. Do you see, brethren, how many benefits the Creator and Savior pours upon you through priests? It very often happens that the midst of the spirit of malice surrounds our heart and does not allow us to speak peacefully with our neighbors who have once or several times offended us or expressed any ill will towards us. We must pray fervently to the Lord that He Himself would disperse this mist of malice and fill our heart with mercy and love, even towards our enemies, for they, in the blindness of the passions of pride, envy, covetousness, malice, do not themselves know what they do, as the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ knew not what they did when they persecuted Him all His life, and at the last put Him to a shameful death. We must remember that the Christian religion consists of loving our enemies. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? St. Matthew 5:46. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. St. Matthew 6:33. How are we to seek first the kingdom of God? In the following manner, let us suppose that you wish to walk, or drive, or else go to a boat somewhere on any worldly temporal business. Before doing so, first pray to the Lord that He may correct the ways of your heart, and then also your present bodily way, or that He may direct the way of your life in accordance with His commandments. Desire this with all your heart, and often renew your prayer concerning this. The Lord, seeing your sincere desire and endeavor to walk in accordance with His commandments, will by degree correct all your ways. Further, for instance, if you wish to get the pure air into your room, or if you go for a walk in the fresh air, think of the pure and of the unclean heart. Many of us like to have pure air in the rooms, and this is an excellent habit, or are fond of walking in the fresh air, but they do not even think of the necessity of the purity of the spirit of heart, of so to say spiritual air, the breath of life. And living in the fresh air, they allow themselves to indulge in impure thoughts, impure movements of the heart, and even impurity of language, and most impure carnal action. Again, when seeking material light, remember the spiritual light, which is indispensable for the soul, and without which it remains in the darkness of the passions, in the darkness of spiritual death. I am come a light unto the world, says the Lord, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. St. John 12:46. And if you see the fury and hear the howling of the tempest or red of shipwrecks, think of the storm of human passions causing daily groans and disturbances in the hearts of men, wrecking the spiritual ship of the soul or the ship of the human society, and pray fervently to the Lord that he may subdue the tempest of sins as he once subdued the tempest of sea by his word, and that he may root out our passion from our hearts and re-establish in them unceasing tranquility. If you experience a feeling of hunger or thirst and wish to eat and drink, think of the hunger or thirst of the soul. It thirsts after righteousness for justification, Christ for justification, which if you do not satisfy, your soul may die from hunger, crushed by the passions, weakened and exhausted. And in satisfying your bodily hunger, do not forget to appease above all and before all your spiritual hunger by conversing with God, by heartfelt repentance for your sins, by reading the story and precepts of the gospel, and especially by the communion of the divine mysteries of the body and blood of Christ. If you are fond of dressing elegantly, or when you put on your clothes, think of the incorruptible garment of righteousness in which our souls should be arrayed, or of the Jesus Christ, who is our spiritual raiment, as it is said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. A passion for dress, often entirely thrust out from the heart, the very thought of the incorruptible raiment of the soul, and turns the whole life into vain care about elegance in dress. If you are a scholar, a student in any educational establishment, or an official in some ministry, an officer in any of the branches of the military service, or a technologist, a painter, a sculptor, a manufacturer, a mechanic, remember that the first science for each one of you is to be a true Christian, to believe sincerely in Holy Trinity, to converse daily with God in prayer, to take part in the divine service, to observe the rules and regulations of the church, and to bear in your heart before your work, during your work, and after your work, the name of Jesus, for he is our light, our strength, our holiness, and our help. It is a wonderful thing that however much we trouble about our health, however much care we take of ourselves, whatever wholesome and pleasant food we eat, whatever wholesome drinks we drink, however much we walk in the fresh air, still notwithstanding all this, in the end we are subjected to maladies and corruption, whilst the saints who despise their flesh and mortify it by continual abstinence and fasting, by lying on the bare earth, by watchfulness, labors, unceasing prayer, have made both their souls and bodies immortal. Our well-fed bodies decay and emit an offensive odor after death, while theirs remain fragrant and flourishing in life as well as after death. It is a wonderful thing we, by building up, destroy our body, whilst they, by destroying, build up theirs. They, only caring for the fragrance of their souls before God, obtain the fragrance of their bodies also. Brethren, understand the problem, the purpose of your life. We must mortify our body with its many passions, or our carnal passions, through abstinence, labor, prayer, and not animate it, and its passions through dainties, satiety, and slothfulness. It is well in every respect to give to the poor, besides obtaining mercy on the terrible day of judgment. Even here, while on earth, those who give alms often obtain great mercies from their neighbors, and that which others only obtain for a large sum of money is given to them freely. Indeed, will not the lover of mankind, the most righteous and most bountiful Heavenly Father, whose children are compassionated by the merciful, reward them here also in order to encourage them to still greater works of mercy, or to the continuance of their previous works of mercy, as well as to the amendment of the unmerciful who mock at the merciful. He will reward them both worthily and righteously. How many trifling and unceasing pretexts the hater of mankind offers us by hating our neighbor, so that we are almost constantly angry with others, almost constantly bearing malice against others, and living in accordance with his infernal, all-destructive will. But do not let us chase his phantoms. Let us put aside all enmity and love everyone, for love is of God. Lord, thou continually requestest help in me. In accordance with my prayer, Lord, thou continually conquerest hell in me, in accordance with my prayer. And if I am not yet in hell, it is through thy mercy. Conqueror of hell, my Lord, glory to thee, our benefactor, our Savior. How would it have been with us without thee? We should truly have been like the beasts, and should have exterminated each other. As it is with the separate individuals, so it is also with nations. If separate individuals and nations lived in accordance with the gospel, then there would not be any enmity, dissension, and wars. When shall we fully acknowledge the necessity of our temporary and eternal good to live in accordance with the gospel? But now, how few there are who even read the gospel. Lord, I confess to thee that neither in the country nor in the forest are to be found life and health and the vigor of the spiritual and material powers, but with thee in the temple, and above all during the liturgy and in thy holy life-giving mysteries. O greatest blessedness of the holy mysteries, O life-giving mysteries, O divine mysteries that are love unspeakable, O divine mysteries that are the Lord God's constant and wonderful providence for saving and sanctifying us, O divine mysteries that are the prefiguration of eternal life. Our Lady, most holy Mother of God, I prayed to thee before the liturgy that thou wouldst grant me grace to celebrate it with much power to the glory of God for the salvation of the world and my own. Thou hast ordered all things well. I thank thee, O gracious helper, thou who hearest us speedily, thou who dost not let our trust in thee be shamed. How many benefits has my faith in Christ brought me until now? Without speaking of innumerable other benefits, I will mention the following ones. How many disturbances of the soul and passions it had driven away and appeased in me? How many evil inclinations of the heart it has corrected? How many times I was cleansed from my sins and my soul saved from spiritual death? And how near is our Lord unto him who believes. He is like the air, like the breath of our mouth, like the breathing of our heart, of our soul. Lord, I thank Thee from all my heart for the blessed moving of Thy Holy Spirit during divine service, both public and private, for the cleansing from sins, for peace, for devotion and tears, for fatherly consolation, for boldness, for power. As a priest, pray above all for the cleansing from sins, for the enlightenment and renewal of God's people, and for your own renewal. For although you often drink the blood of the New Testament and eat the life-giving flesh of the Lamb of God, which can speedily regenerate and renew you, nevertheless, owing to your negligence, you are not yet regenerated nor renewed, being given up in the depths of your heart to the same passions that were in you before. Offer then unto God ardent prayer for your own renewal and that of his people. This is the most pleasing sacrifice to God. Offer your prayer with faith, firm trust, and love unfeigned. For to him who came to make a new garment out of the old one and to pour new wine into the old bottles, prayer for renewal is like fragrant incense and concurs with the Lord's purpose of the regeneration of the human race decayed by sin. Unmurmuring obedience is very profitable to the soul. This we see from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for his obedience was exalted, according to his human nature, above all dominion, nations, principalities, and authorities, as well as from the examples of all God's saints, who for their obedience to the Son of God and his gospel were deemed worthy of incorruptible heavenly crowns and eternal life with God and his holy angels. Beside this, obedience is also abundantly profitable to the body, for what the slothful lose in is acquired by the laborious and zealous who are obedient. Therefore, obedience is profitable both to the soul and to the body. And even if it is not always profitable for the body, then it is absolutely so to the soul. And thus, let everyone be obedient in that which is good, but not in evil. To be humble means to consider ourselves deserving for our sins of every humiliation, injury, persecution, and even blows. And to be meek means to patiently endure injustice, abuse, etc., and to pray for our enemies. The poignant sorrow with which you unintentionally pierce another's heart shall return to your own heart according to the strict law of requital. With what measure ye mete, ye shall be measured to you again. St. Matthew 7:2. And if you do not desire sorrow for yourself, do not occasion it to others. If people labor for long for worldly vanity and often make us wait in vain for them to finish, then should not we, God's servants, labor for the Lord God slowly, pausing with understanding, with feeling, with great reverence and zeal, reading the prayers distinctly, separately? Better let people wait for us than we for them. Lord, let it be thus at every celebration of divine service of all the mysteries. Give all this thyself, for without thee we can do nothing. St. John 15:5. A true Christian never forgets that in this world he is a prisoner of the devil, and he continued these signs for the spiritual freedom given by the Son of God to all those who believe in him and strive to free themselves from the bondage of sins. A true Christian lives watchfully, using all earthly things in moderation. He does not spend his time in idle talk or idle amusement. He is not extraordinate, does not envy, prays constantly, and repents of his sins. People say that it is not a matter of importance if you eat meat during Lent, for Lent does not consist in food, that it is not a matter of importance if you wear costly fine clothes, frequent theaters, evening parties, masquerades, if you provide yourself with expensive plate, china, furniture, costly equipages, cars, spirited horses, if you amass and hoard money, etc. But what is it that turns away our heart from God, the source of life? Through what do we lose eternal life? Is it not through gluttony, through expensive dress, like the rich man in gospel? Is it not through theaters and masquerades? What is it that makes us hard-hearing to the poor, and even to our own relatives? Is it not our attachment to carnal pleasures in general, to our belly, to dress, plate, furniture, carriages, cars, money, etc.? Can a man serve God and mammon, St. Matthew 6:24, be a friend of God and a friend of the world, work for Christ and for the devil? It is impossible. Through what did Adam and Eve lose paradise? Through what did they fall into sin and death? Was it not through food alone? Let us consider well what makes us careless about salvation of our soul, which cost the Son of God so dear. What makes us add one sin to another? What makes us fall continually into a position against God, into a life of vanity? Is it not attachment to earthly things, and especially to earthly delights? What makes our heart gross? And what makes us become flesh and not spirit, perverting our moral nature? Is it not attachment to food and drink and other earthly goods? How often this can it be said that to eat meat during Lent is unimportant? How after this it can be said that to eat meat during Lent is not important? To say so is nothing but pride, sophism, disobedience, want of submission to God and estrangement from him. From what deep sores, from what mortal wounds, from what deathly breathing is sin, did the heavenly physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, come to save us? Who can fully understand this? Nobody. Only in part, from our own experience, some of us see the depth of the abyss into which we have fallen through sin, all our powerlessness for good, all the power and abyss of the evil or sin nestling in our hearts. But even to see this is granted unto us by the grace of God, enlightening our darkened hearts. A man does not see this by his natural understanding, and therefore he cannot see and feel the necessity of amendment and have strength for such amendment and renewal. I thank the Lord, who is mighty in his mercy and merciful in his might, for speedy and great forgiveness, for the healing of deep spiritual wounds caused by sin. What long continued prayer at home could not do was accomplished by only touching the life-giving, glorious, and terrible altar of God in the temple of the holy and glorious leaders of the apostles Peter and Paul. The wounds of the heart, the disturbance, affliction, and oppression suddenly vanished, as if a great mountain had fallen from my heart and I was at peace. My heart expanded and grew light and daring. Wonderful are thy works, Lord. Wonderful art thou thyself, sitting on the throne of thy glory in Christian temples. Lord, most righteous judge, most merciful and almighty Savior, glory to thine invincible goodness, glory to thine immeasurable power, King of all ages. Brethren, among the beings created by God, there are the temporal, transitory ones, such as all unintelligent, animate and inanimate creatures, organic and inorganic, as well as the world itself, which will pass away. The passion of this world passes away. 1 Corinthians 7:31. And there are eternal beings which are not transitory, such as the angels and the souls of men, the demons themselves with Satan. For man, the earthly life of the body, serves only as a preparation for eternal life, which will begin after the death of the body. Therefore, we must avail ourselves without delay of the present life as a preparation for the other life. And as we chiefly work during weekdays for the earthly life, we must work on Sundays and other holidays only for the Lord God, devoting them to attendance at divine service, to reading of the Word of God, to pious meditation, to edifying conversations, good works, and especially to works of mercy. And those sin grievously who neglect the matter of their spiritual education for their eternal life in the world above, how can we forget our final destination? How is it possible to be so ungrateful to the Creator who created us after His own image and likeness, incorruptible and for union with Himself, who redeemed us by His cross and opened to us the gates of the kingdom of heaven? How can many of us become like the beasts that perish? Psalm 48:49-21. Let us lift up our hearts. Explanation in the liturgy. The body, being only the temporal garment of the soul, is perishable and does not constitute the true life of a man. The true life is the spiritual life. If you destroy the man's garment, still he himself remains alive. So also after the slaying, after the death, the corruption of the body, the soul remains alive. Let us then chiefly care for the soul, for the salvation. O holy temple, how good, how sweet it is to pray in thee. For where can there be ardent prayer if not within thy walls, before the throne of God and before the face of him who sitteth upon it? Truly the soul melts from prayerful emotion, and tears flow down the cheek like water. It is sweet to pray for all. I marvel at the greatness of the life-giving properties of the holy mysteries. An old woman who was spitting blood and who had lost all strength, being unable to eat anything after the communion of the Holy Sacrament, which I administered to her, began to recover on the same day from her illness. A young girl who was almost dying after the communion of the Holy Mysteries began to recover on the same day from her illness, began to eat, drink, and speak, whilst before this she was almost in a state of unconsciousness, violently tossed about, and could neither eat nor drink anything. Glory to thy life-giving and terrible mysteries, O Lord. Be true to God always and in everything. If you say the prayer, Our Father, pronounce each word sincerely with reverence. fixing your mind and heart upon God alone, not paying attention to anything or anybody around you. If you say any other prayer, say it also with all your soul, not with your heart divided, not paying undue attention to anything or anybody. The enemy of our salvation especially strives to draw our heart and mind away from God when we are about to serve Him, and endeavors to adulterously attach our heart to something irrelevant. Be always, every moment with God, especially when you pray to Him. At this time, be especially true and constant to Him. If you are inconstant, you will fall away from life and will cast yourself into sorrow and straitness. Do not hasten to eat and drink, but rather hasten to perform God's service. And when performing God's service, do not think of food and drink. Think well before whom you stand, with whom you are conversing, to whom you are singing praises. Be holy in God, belong wholly to Him alone. Pray with all your heart, sing with all your heart, serve for your neighbor as you would serve for yourself, gladly, heartily, not with a divided heart and thoughts. Lord, help us, for without Thee we can do nothing. St. John 15:5. When the heart is pure, then the whole man is pure. When the heart is unclean, the whole man is unclean. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. St. Matthew 15:19. But the saints all acquired pure hearts by fasting, vigilance, prayer, pious meditation, by reading the Word of God, martyrdom, labor, and sweat, and the Holy Spirit abode in them, cleansed them from every impurity, and sanctified them by eternal sanctification. Strive also above all for the cleansing of your heart. Make me a clean heart, O God. Psalter 51:10. Do not value God's sacrament at the price of gold and silver. That which you have freely received, be also ready to freely give. Leave the reward to your labor, to the free will of those who receive the mysteries, and labor for those who give or can only afford to give you. The smallest remuneration for your spiritual labor, as willingly as for those who offer you a large remuneration. During God's work, do not think of silver, do not offend the Holy Spirit, and do not sell God's gifts, lest your silver be the cause of your own destruction. Indeed, some really do sell, and others buy, or think them of buying, the gifts of the Holy Ghost for silver, like Simon the sorcerer. Food and drink must only be used for strengthening our powers and not as dainties, and we must not eat when nature does not require it. Many of us, and I myself the first, if we do not repent and correct ourselves, will be condemned for having eaten and drunk unnecessarily, and thus for having understanding, like the brutes that have no understanding, and for having darkened our foolish hearts. You have amused yourself with food and drink, and have often eaten and drunk when there was no need for you to eat and drink. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. St. Luke 6:25. Ye have lived a pleasure on earth, and been wanton, and have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. James 5:5. You must pay most strict and active attention to this, your daily action of eating and drinking. For from food and drink, from their quality and quantity, your spiritual, social, and family activity very greatly depends. Take heed of yourself, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. St. Luke 21:34. Tea and coffee also pertains to drunkenness, if indulged in unseasonably and to excess. O woe unto us who are full now, and frequently look negligently upon God's gifts through our flesh, and in general through our materiality, the devil acts injuriously upon us. Thus, through wine, tea, coffee, through dainties, through money, dress, etc., he inflames our passions. Therefore, we must guard against drinking much wine, tea, or coffee, and against eating dainties, especially without other substantial, solid, and wholesome food. These dainties must only be used after everything, and in the most moderate quantity. Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. St. Luke 22:31. Is it he who so greatly distracts our thoughts in the temple during divine services and at home during the prayer? It is he who draws away our thoughts from God, from our soul and the souls of others, from heavenly and eternal things. It is he who occupies us with earthly trifles or with earthly vanity, with earthly nothingness, with earthly allurements, with food, drink, dress, houses, etc. We must pray for each other that our faith should not fail, as the Savior prayed for Peter. By feeding largely, one becomes a carnal man, having no spirit or soulless flesh, while by fasting one attracts the Holy Spirit and becomes spiritual. When cotton is not wetted with water, it is light, and if a small quantity flies up, and in a small quantity flies up into the air, but if it is wetted, it becomes heavy, and at once falls to the ground. It is the same with this soul. Oh, how important it is to preserve it by fasting. Is unwilling outward prayer profitable? No, it is repugnant to God, as the man who prays unwillingly only runs over the words, often without understanding their power, without feeding them, and his heart is not enlightened, not warmed, not vivified by them. So it is also with the unwilling pupil. It is necessary when teaching to accustom the pupil to study willingly, and to teach them to think about what they say. By what name are you called according to the faith? By the name of Christian. What does it mean? It means that I am a member of the body of Christ, which is the Church of Christ, and that I am a servant of Christ. To what does the name a Christian obligate you? It obligates me to always have Christ in my thought and heart, always to have his Spirit throughout all my life, imitating his life, fulfilling his holy commandments, and to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Galatians 3:1-2. What is holiness? Freedom from every sin and the fullness of every virtue. This freedom from sin and this virtuous life are only attained by a few zealous persons, and that not suddenly, but gradually, by prolonged and manifold sorrows, sicknesses, and labors, by fasting, vigilance, prayers, and that not by their own strength, but by the grace of Christ. Only Our Lady, the Mother of God, was sanctified from her earthly childhood, from her mother's womb, and afterwards the Lord sanctified her in the Holy of Holies with the most perfect sanctification through her unceasing prayer, the reading of the Word of God, and meditations upon it, through the teaching of the pure and heavenly and bodiless powers, and especially through her own inward illumination. Holiness corresponds in nature to light of the sun and to the whiteness of snow, while sin to darkness, wants of light, and filth or rust. When you look upon the icon of Mother of God with her eternal infant marvel, how most truly the Godhead was united with human nature, glorify the goodness and the omnipotence of God, and recognizing your own dignity as man, live worthily of the high calling to which you are called in Christ, that is, the calling of a child of God and an heir to the eternal bliss. Why does the Lord give to man a prolongation of his days upon the earth? In order that the man should have time to repent and to cleanse himself from his sins and passions, and that truth and love should entirely penetrate his heart by means of the teaching of his feelings and relation to good and evil. Glory be to God.